Well, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. I'm glad that my wife and I have been invited to be with you this weekend. It is good to meet all of you. Some of you I have yet to meet, and if I get a chance, I'll try to get around to you and meet you and try to remember your name. As I said this morning before the Bible class, I'm not always good with remembering names. You have to give me a few hours to give me a chance to learn your name. So, but I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Samuel. Stories have always been powerful teaching tools. In fact, we studied this morning in our Bible study a story that Jesus himself told a lawyer in order to get his point across to him about what it meant to love your neighbor. If a preacher is looking out at his audience and he sees that some people are starting to nod off or he's losing attention, sometimes he'll tell a story because stories get our attention. And stories are memorable. I think that's one of the reasons that Jesus taught stories is because we can remember them, we can relate to them. And another reason we like stories is because sometimes they tell us about people. We like to hear about people's mistakes. We like to hear about good things people have done because we can relate to those stories. We too are people. When we hear about struggles that people have, or challenges that people have, or mistakes that people make, we can relate to those things because we recognize we too have made mistakes, we too have challenges. And also whenever we hear about good things that people have done, when we read stories about soldiers winning awards or medals of honor, we're encouraged by that because we too are people. And we strive to be like them. We want to achieve to their excellence that they have achieved too. So we like stories about people. The book of 1 Samuel is a story about how the kingship was established in Israel. If you remember in your Bible history, the book of 1 Samuel comes not only in your Bibles, but in history after the book of Judges. And the time of the Judges was a time where there was no king in Israel. And the book of 1 Samuel is about how that changes. There becomes a king in Israel. And the neat thing about the book of 1 Samuel is the story is told through four important characters who are really colorful. One of them was a very negative character, but the other three are really good characters. And I want us to focus on two of those characters this morning. First of all, Samuel is who we're going to start with this morning. And this evening we'll talk about Saul, who is the negative example. But it all starts with Samuel. Samuel is a wonderful man. He was one of probably Israel's greatest leaders that they ever had. And I asked the young brother to read from 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 24, because this is Samuel's beginning in his life. And I'm not going to reread it, but well, we see a few things about Samuel in this first chapter. First of all, you remember the story about how Samuel came about. Hannah was barren, and she wanted a son so badly, so she prayed to the Lord fervently, and the Lord answered her prayer. In fact, in verse 20, it says, "And it came about in due time, after Hannah had peeped, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord." Hannah gave her son Samuel a very deliberate name for a very deliberate reason. She recognized that this son had been given to her as a gift. And so she named him Samuel, which reminds us, or reminds if you know Hebrew, reminds you of the Hebrew word meaning heard of God. And we learn something important about Samuel there. Samuel is not an accident. He's meant to be here. God is showing his hand already in Samuel's life. And that's going to be important later on. We also learn about Samuel that he, in verse 27, Hannah is returning Samuel to the Lord as she vowed. And she says in verse 27, "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. The second thing that we learn about Samuel, and probably the most important thing for this lesson, is that Samuel was a man who was dedicated or given to the Lord. Not in the sense that you would be dedicated maybe to the Hoosiers basketball team, but in the sense that he had given himself to the Lord. Some translations say that Hannah was lending him or returning him to the Lord. That's what it means to be dedicated to the Lord in this context. In other words, Hannah is saying, I recognize that Samuel has been given to me as a gift, and now I'm returning him to the God, to God, who gave him to me, in return for this gift. So he's dedicated to the Lord. And you may say, well, Samuel had no choice in the matter. Hannah brought him, and he didn't really argue. He was very young. But eventually, whenever we read about Samuel's life, eventually he himself, we see making the same decision. He's going to give himself to the Lord. He doesn't argue with this vow that Hannah made for him. He makes the decision himself to give himself to the Lord. And so for the rest of our time this morning, I'm going to look at three characteristics of Samuel's life that show why and how he was dedicated to the Lord. He gave himself to the Lord. First characteristic is that he was very courageous in obeying God. In chapter 3, as the story progresses in 1 Samuel, Samuel's given a mission in chapter 3. You remember the story of how Samuel was in the temple, or the tabernacle, and he served Eli, and one day Samuel was going to sleep, and he heard a voice crying out to him, Samuel, Samuel. And he thought it was Eli, so he runs to Eli, and he asks, what is it? And three times that happens, and all three times Eli tells Samuel, it's not me. The last time Eli tells him, it's the Lord speaking to you. And so he tells Samuel to go lie back down. And the next time he hears this, tell the Lord, I'm listening. And the Lord has a message for him in verse 11 of chapter 3. It says, the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. And in verse 15, Samuel lies down until the morning. And we read how in the morning Samuel arose and Eli asked him, what was the message that the Lord appeared to you about? Tell me what you said, or what he said. And verse 15 tells us that Samuel was afraid to tell the message to Eli, and understandably so. This was not a very pleasant message to pass on to Eli. Your family, your house is going to be judged because of your... And Samuel's not a very old boy at this point. He's probably only about 12 or 13 years old. But even though he was afraid to tell the message, he told it anyway, because he was courageous in obedience. And this is something we see not just whenever he was young, but all throughout his ministry as a prophet and as a leader of God's people. He was courageous in bringing messages that were not always fun to hear. Over and over again, he's bringing messages that are really unpleasant. For instance, in chapter 7, whenever Samuel grows up, this is a few years later. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. It says that then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the forth and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord and serve him alone, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. What Samuel tells the Israelites is, well, you haven't been serving the Lord. And essentially, you need to get your lives right with him. And that's not always a fun message to proclaim. It's not always an easy message to proclaim. In chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, the Israelites ask for a king to lead them and to guide them. And in verse 10, Samuel has to proclaim another message to them from the Lord. Verse 10 tells us that Samuel spoke all the words of the Lord to the people who had asked him of a king. He said, this will be the procedure of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and place them for himself in his chariots and among his horsemen, and they will run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and of fifties, and some to do his plowing and to reap his harvest and to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. The Israelites are asking for a king to rule over them, to guide them, and to be their military ruler. And Samuel, from the Lord, is saying, that you don't really understand what you're asking for. If you have a king over you, he's going to taxes of you. He's going to take your people. He's going to take your daughters and make them maids and servants. He's going to take your young men and make them soldiers. This is not a fun message to proclaim because Israel didn't want to hear that. But Samuel proclaimed it anyway. And then, as if that wasn't hard enough for Samuel to do, whenever the kingship is established and Saul is made the king of Israel, things didn't go very well. And Samuel had to be the one to carry the message to Saul that you're not the kind of king that you need to be. For example, in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, this is after Saul has disobeyed the Lord after not destroying the Amalekites as he was told to do. In verse 22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." Samuel had to come to the most powerful man in Israel at this time and tell him that he was rejected from being king. And if you notice, in verse 11 of this chapter, of 1 Samuel 15, notice how Samuel himself is suffering in bringing this message. In verse 11, the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me, and he has not carried out my commands." And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. He suffered because Saul wasn't faithful, and he brought the message anyway. Even though it was not a pleasant message to bring, he did it anyway because he was courageous in obeying the Lord. And we learned something very important about obedience from Samuel at this point. Obedience is not always easy to do. Sometimes we ourselves are going to have to suffer by the things that we're told to do. And sometimes the Lord asks us to do things that, quite frankly, we don't really want to do. They're a lot harder than maybe we want to give. Maybe God is demanding of us more energy than we really want to give, or more sacrifice than we really want to give. And it takes courage. It takes faith in God in order to do that thing, which requires a lot of us, as it did Samuel. But Samuel was a man who was honest. He was a man who knew that God's way was the right way, and so he devoted himself to following his word, no matter what it took. Remember Abraham, in Genesis chapter 22, I believe, Abraham was told to go sacrifice his son, his only son, whom he loved. And Abraham did it because he was courageous and obeyed the Lord. Sometimes the Lord asks us to do similar things, not necessarily sacrifice our only promised son, but he asks us to do other things, like serve other people. Maybe give up something that we're really holding on to, that's holding us back from being pure-minded. Or maybe we've got a habit that's sinful and we need to break that habit. The Lord asks us to be courageous in order to do those things. And you know, at the end of the day, those things are the only things that make us who we are. It's not the easy things that define our character and that shape us. It's the hard things, the things that require sacrifice, the things that require courage. Those are the things which make us who we are. It's like a bar of iron. If you're going to shape a bar of iron, in order to bend it to whatever shape you want it to be, you've got to melt it. You've got to put it through pressure and all these adverse conditions. That's the only way that you're going to be able to bend that iron. And the same is true for our characters. The only way that the Lord can make us who we are and make us different people is by challenging us. And it's not that the Lord wants to make our lives miserable, but sometimes it's for our own good. He's challenging us to be courageous in obedience. But Samuel was a person who knew what it took to be courageous. He passed the test. He passed the test in obeying the Lord because he was courageous in obedience. The second characteristic that I see in Samuel that shows that he gave himself, he lent himself to the Lord, is the fact that he trusted God despite all of the challenging things he had to face. You know, he faced a lot of disappointments in his life. He was a good, faithful man, but not everything went well for him in his life. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 8, for instance. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse is the first disappointment that Samuel faces. It says in chapter 8, verse 3, his sons, Samuel's sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. Now you think about that. Here's a faithful man, probably one of the greatest leaders Israel has ever had up to this point. He's a man who's courageous in obeying God. Everything about this man speaks of righteousness and holiness. And his very own sons are not following after his ways. And not just that they just don't care, but they're deliberately going out there and mistreating other people. They're abusing their position as servants in the temple or the tabernacle. They've gone complete opposite direction from Samuel. And you've got to wonder how disappointing that was to Samuel. It was incredibly disappointing to him that his very own sons refused to walk after his ways. It reminds us a little bit of what happened to Eli and his children. You wonder if Samuel, maybe he didn't rebuke his children. We don't know. But the point I want to focus on is that this was extremely disappointing to him to see this. The second disappointment he faced was also in chapter 8. In chapter 8, in verse 5, the elders of Israel say to him, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. So appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations." But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. Whenever Israel asked for a king, Samuel almost took it personally. Because Samuel was their leader. He was God's spokesman. And here they are, it seems like they're rejecting him personally. And that's understandable why he took it so personally. Think of all the time and the effort that Samuel has put into teaching Israel to follow the Lord your God with all of your heart. And teaching them to follow him as their only king. And here they are asking for an earthly king to judge them and rule them like the nations around them. You wonder if Samuel got discouraged because he looked at all the work he had put into trying to instruct them and teach them. And here they are just asking for an earthly king. But he takes it personally. And the Lord has to tell him, no, they're not rejecting you, but they're rejecting me as being a king. And I wonder if the Lord told that to Samuel because Samuel did take it personally. It was almost a personal rejection against Samuel. At least that's how he took it. Because they refused to acknowledge God as their king. But you notice what Samuel does. He prayed to the Lord. This was a disappointment to him, yes. But he took that disappointment to God. And he laid it out before God and asked the Lord, what am I going to do with this? The third disappointment that Samuel faced was everything about Saul was a disappointment. He was a failure as a king. He was a failure as a person, really. As a servant of the Lord, as a servant of the people, he failed. And we already read chapter 8. Whenever Samuel was told to go to Saul and tell him that he had been rejected, we already read in verse 11 how Samuel was distressed and he cried out all night to the Lord. And look at verse 34 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. It says, "Then Samuel went up to Ramah, but Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death, for Samuel grieved over Saul. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel." And that word there, where it says that Samuel grieved over Saul, that's the same phrase that is used of grieving over a dead person at perhaps their funeral. Samuel is grieving over Saul as if he is dead because he's been rejected as God's king. And we see this disappointment that Samuel faced in his life. His life was not an easy one, but he trusted in the Lord nonetheless. And that's the point I want us to focus on. The fact that even though he didn't understand sometimes what the Lord was telling him to do, even though it was not his will, if you will, to establish a king over Israel. It was not what Samuel wanted, but God told him to do it, and he did it anyways, even though he maybe not have, he didn't understand it. In chapter 16, whenever Samuel is told to go and find a king after God's own heart, David, you wonder if Samuel was wondering, well, is this going to be a man like Saul, who's just going to end up doing the same thing? But he trusted in God's guidance in that circumstance. He knew, he didn't know who he was going to choose, but he trusted that God was going to show him David, the boy after his own heart, to be the king of Israel. He trusted God, despite the fact that he faced those tremendous disappointments. And he witnessed a lot of human failure. Saul failed him. The Israelites failed him, but not once did he see God fail him. And maybe that's what kept him going. Maybe that's what kept him trusting and holding on to God, was the fact that he knew that even though people are going to fail you, God never once failed him or led him astray. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, going back a little bit in time, in verse 19, of course, this is when Samuel's a little bit younger. But in chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "Then Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail." Yes, he witnessed people failing him. People betrayed him, but God never once failed him. So he trusted in God, despite the fact he was disappointed in a lot of things. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we willing to give ourselves, return ourselves, dedicate ourselves to God in the same way? And a lot of people are going to fail us. People are going to betray us sometimes. But what do? Do we give up? Whenever other people or other Christians fall away from the Lord or lose faith in God, do we lose faith in God? Do we let that discourage us? Whenever we have to do difficult things, or whenever we see even our children failing to serve the Lord, what do we do about that? How does that affect ourselves and our trust in God? Do we pray about it? Do we lay it out before God? Do we trust in His guidance? And that's what Samuel did. He gave himself to God by trusting God despite the disappointing things he had to face. And number three, and finally this morning, the last thing that characterized Samuel was the fact that he was persevering in his service and his integrity. He persevered. There's two things I want you to notice about this point. There's two ideas I want to get at. First of all, his steadiness. Samuel was a steady man. He was a dedicated man. It seems like he never once faltered. And that steadiness, he continued. He was consistent in the Lord up until his old age, and even into his old age. Those are the two ideas. First of all, his steadiness, and also his steadiness into his old age. That's what I mean by when I say that he was persevering in service, in integrity. In chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, in verse 15, it says, "Now Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He used to go annually on circuit to Bethel, to Gilgal, and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then his return was to Ramah, for his house was built there, and he judged Israel, and he built an altar to the Lord." The phrase I want you to notice is in verse 15, he judged Israel all the days of his life. Can you think about that for a minute? Think about who Samuel was leading, who he was judging. We talked about at the beginning of the lesson that 1 Samuel takes place right after the time of the judges, the time where Israel was characterized by unfaithfulness, by that cyclical, that cycle in which they were serving the Lord for a time, but when things started going well, they fell away from God. And the Lord sent a nation to punish them and turn them back to Him. And so they suffered for a time, and they turned back to the Lord. But again, once things started going well, they again returned to their evil ways. This is the same nation that Samuel's judging, and that he's leading. He's leading a people who are fickle, who are sometimes indecisive, who ask for a king to be like the nations around them. He's leading in many ways an unfaithful people. wonder how much stress and how difficult it was to lead this type of people. This was a tremendous task that Samuel had been entrusted with. And it took perseverance. It took that ability to keep on going, even though he didn't know if it was doing anything or if it was being effective. But he persevered in his service to Israel. And he persevered in his integrity to Israel. In chapter 8, verse 1, it tells us that it came about when Samuel was old that he appointed his sons judges over Israel. Samuel was an old man whenever Israel asked for a king. But he was still God's servant. It wasn't like whenever as soon as he got old, he said, I'm done with my time now. I've served you well, but I'm going to retire now. Even as an old man, he was still serving the Lord and still serving the people of Israel. And these two qualities of Samuel, this steadiness and this devotion, this persevering quality, and also whenever you see that carry into his old age, those two qualities are seen in chapter 12, if you'll turn there. And this is a passage I want us to focus on for a couple of minutes. 1 Samuel chapter 12. This is Samuel's last recorded speech in the book of 1 Samuel. And this isn't his farewell speech because he doesn't die until a few chapters later. So he's not saying I'm on my deathbed. But his purpose in the speech in chapter 12 is to remind them that even though they have an earthly king, Saul, set before them, that their real king is still their king, and their king is God. And so he's trying to reaffirm their love for the one true king, even though they have an earthly king. But I want you to notice, first of all, what Samuel says in verses 1 through 5. In verse 1, it says, "Then Samuel said to all Israel, 'Behold, I have listened to your voice and all that you said to me, and I have appointed a king over you. Now here is the king walking before you, but I am old and gray. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my youth even to this day. Here I am, bear witness against me before the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or from whose hand did I bribe to blind my eyes with it? I will restore it to you.' They said, 'You have not defrauded us, or oppressed us, or taken anything from any man's hand.' And he said to them, 'The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness against you. This day you have found nothing in my hand.' And they said, 'He is witness.'" Notice Samuel's reputation with the people of Israel there. At the end of towards the end of his life, he's an old man. He's standing before God's people. And he lived his life in such a way that even as an old man, he's able to ask them, "Have I ever done anything to lead you astray? Have I ever taken anything from you unjustly? Have I ever abused my power as of you? Have I ever taken advantage of anyone? If I have, then I'll repay it back to you." And he lived his life in such a way, with such steadiness and integrity, the people are able to say, "You have never led us astray. We know your reputation. We know that you are such a righteous man and a godly man, that you have never done anything wrong to lead us astray. No, you haven't done anything to abuse your power." Notice his integrity and his reputation there, which is really quite remarkable when you look at all of Scripture. Not many people have a reputation like that. Even good leaders of Israel, among them, sometimes this reputation is rare. You take leaders that Israel had like Moses and David and some of the kings, Hezekiah and Josiah, wonderful leaders. Abraham, he was before Israel actually came. But those were wonderful leaders and great and godly men. But even their faults are recorded in Scripture. We know the sins, or many of the sins of David. We know how Moses failed. We know how Abraham failed. But I challenge you to find one thing that's said about Samuel in which he failed. I don't think you'll find anything. Now, that doesn't mean that he was a perfect man. Now, we know he was a human. He made mistakes. We just don't know what they were. And that's the point. Is that Samuel was such a righteous and a godly man, He lived with such integrity that his faults weren't recorded in Scripture. Such devotion to the Lord. Such consistency. And even though that type of reputation is so rare, it shows us that that type of reputation is possible. Samuel was able to do it. Yes, he was a great man, but he was also a human. Just like you and I are humans. And if we put our faith and our trust in God, and we live with that steadiness and that persevering quality that Samuel had, we too can have that type of reputation, not just before men, but before God. Seen as a righteous and a godly individual. That's the first thing I want you to notice about Samuel's speech. But notice also the end of Samuel's speech in 1 Samuel chapter 12. In verse 23, well, let's back up to verse 21. Samuel says, "You must not turn aside," reminding them that their king is in heaven. "You must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver, because they are futile. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself." And notice verse 23. "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. But I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away." Verse 23 is probably one of the greatest statements that we ever see Samuel making in the book of 1 Samuel. He says, "As for me, it would be a sin if I ever stopped praying for you." He's an old man. We don't know how old he is. Maybe he's 80, maybe he's 60, maybe he's 100. We don't know for sure. But Scripture does tell us that his body was beginning to fall apart. He wasn't as strong as he was. Maybe his mental capacity wasn't as strong. And it was obvious. The people told him, "You're old and you're gray. You're getting old." But he himself, his steadiness, his devotion to God and his people is seen here as an old man. Again, he didn't say, "I'm done now. I'm retired now." But he says, "Instead, it would be a sin for me to give up my job as your leader, as your mediator before God. I'm going to keep on praying for you. I'm going to keep on instructing you in the right way, and I'm going to keep on leading you as long as I have breath in my lungs." That's the kind of person that Samuel was. He persevered in his service and his integrity. And that's the kind of person that you and I need to be in every stage of our lives. The question we have to ask ourselves is, are we willing to dedicate ourselves to God in the same way that he did? From a very early age, probably about 3 years old, whenever he was weaned, 3 years old, he was dedicated to God. Up until his old age, and even into his old age. That's what it means to be a dedicated person to God, to give ourselves to God. And that's the lesson this morning. And the interesting thing about Samuel's life, and these three qualities which we talked about this morning, is that even though they're present in this man who was a wonderful character in the Old Testament, these are the same three characteristics and qualities that should be present in us as New Testament Christians. We're told that we need to be courageous in obedience. Isn't that what the Lord says? Whenever he tells us to take up our cross and follow after him, he's demanding sacrifice from us. The Lord also tells us that you're going to suffer disappointments. You're going to face sometimes persecutions. You're going to be rejected by your families. Being a Christian is not always going to be an easy thing, but he does tell us to trust in him. And he also tells us, thirdly, that we've got to persevere. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And that's exactly what Samuel demonstrates in his life, steadfastness, immovability. These are the qualities that are demanded of us. The Song of Invitation is number 822, Sweet Will of God. And this is a very fitting imitation song at the end of talking about Samuel, who gave his life his will and gave it up to God's will. We have to ask ourselves, are we willing to give up our will and follow the sweet will of God? If you're not a Christian this morning, you've heard what it takes sometimes to serve the Lord, that it takes courage. It takes a difficult thing sometimes, but it's worth it. And if you're not a Christian this morning, we appeal to you to trust in the Lord. Believe in Jesus Christ as the one who can take away your sins and act on that faith by confessing that faith and repenting of your sins, deciding to live a different life and being baptized to wash away those sins. And if you are a Christian and perhaps you've slackened in your devotion to the Lord and you want the prayers of the saints here, we'll pray for you, we'll encourage you. Whatever you need, you might have. Hope that you would come while together we stand.